to do in the dark, save hunker down out of sight of predators, sleep would occur soon after nightfall. There would be no light again until sunrise. Our evolutionary DNA, the cellular information that determines how we function, knows true dark well. But our modern minds and lifestyles don't. Today, once night falls and any kids are hopefully in bed, the busyness begins. We get busy in the kitchen, busy catching up on work or catching up with our lives, and it all happens under a wash of omnipresent, artificial light. And it's not just indoors. Our previously dark surroundings are now lit up, and our once mysterious starry skies are aglow with cityscape glare. Experts say there's been a tenfold increase in the amount of artificial light used per capita in the last 50 years, and that nights are bright in a way that, quite frankly, confounds our biology. Some have gone so far as to label outdoor light pollution a human health risk. Consequently, our internal clocks run 3 to 5 hours later than in cave person days, when we might have been asleep at 7 p.m. Yet we typically can't sleep in to compensate for the loss. That giant lag would make anyone fatigued. Excessive exposure to artificial light at night, particularly blue light, has been linked to increased risks for obesity, depression, sleep disorders, diabetes, and breast cancer. Biologists know that artificial light at night has terrible effects on nocturnal animals and migrating animals, birds and insects. Why wouldn't it be similarly disruptive for us? Tempering your exposure to light at night and ensuring a state of true dark when you sleep is a crucial step in restoring rhythms and ensuring sleep wellness. Though only fringe health seekers take it seriously right now, it's this crowd that sparked the trend for wearing blue blocker glasses at night. I predict that following healthy night lighting behavior will someday be considered as important as eating your vegetables. The more you can approximate pre-industrial light conditions, the better your sleep will be. And it is possible to do this while still enjoying your home and life. Here's how to harness the power of dark to improve your sleep. 1. Create an electronic sundown. The single most important light exposure correction is to power down devices a couple of hours before bedtime. This shields your eyes from blue light and lets your mind wind down. Install an orange light app such as F.Lux on your computer. Use an app such as Night Filter for Android devices, or switch to Night Shift on your iPhone or iPad. Other evening options are available for e-readers. You can also purchase physical shields for computers and phones that protect your eyes from the damaging and straining effects of LED lights, made by a company called Retacare. And turn down the brightness of your screen. If you do end up plugged in and switched on at night, your device will at least cast a less disrupting sunset-mimicking light. 2. Make your bedroom glow. If you wind down in your bedroom and read before sleep, replace the light bulbs by your bedside with amber-toned bulbs. You can get an amber-toned LED that will last for thousands of hours, or a health-e sleepy baby bulb designed to keep babies dozing during nighttime diaper changes. Another option, a pink Himalayan salt lamp, which emits a gentle glow while proponents say helping to purify air of mold and bacteria, and mildly counteracting the positive ion impact of electronics. Test it for yourself. Many people report feeling better with these lamps in their homes. 3. Dim the lights elsewhere. The truth of the matter is that any blue wave light will stimulate your circadian rhythm the wrong way, which means if you're in the kitchen until 11 p.m, working under LED spotlights, it's going to be harder to wind down. Dimming the lights in your home will help, but your best bet is to complete brightly lit activities earlier in the evening. Then spend your last 2 hours before bed in a softly lit sanctuary. Use low incandescent lights, amber lights, salt lights, or glow lights. You can also use candles to emit a campfire glow, which has a profoundly soothing effect. There is even smart lighting that connects bulbs to smart home systems to create an amber wash of light at night. 4. To ensure appropriately timed melatonin release, you can wear blue blocker glasses, which have orange lenses, the kind made for industrial protection, for the pre-bed hours. You won't win any star prizes, but at $10 a pop, they're worth a try if sleepy feelings elude you. The caveat, you must keep them on until all bright or white lights are out, even while brushing your teeth. 5. Survey your bedroom for unwelcome light. Since the receptors in your eyes are photosensitive when you're asleep, illumination from the street outside your windows, and glowing lights on alarm clocks, gadgets, and air conditioners can all disrupt your sleep rhythm. Do a light detox. Make your bedroom a light-proof sanctuary by fixing light seepage through your blinds or curtains. Remove electronics. Turn your alarm clock around, or better yet, replace it with analog. And cover any remaining blips of electronic light with duct tape. 6. Use a very low wattage nightlight in your bathroom. If you need to get up in the night, don't turn on the overhead lights. Even brief exposure will disrupt melatonin and make returning to sleep harder. 7. Don't glance at your cell phone to find out the time in the darkness. That hit of brightness would be like a shot of espresso to your brain, even if it's just for a few seconds while setting your alarm. Leave the cell phone outside the room. If you want to use your phone for music, white noise, or a sleep app. 8. Minimize any surrounding light pollution you can. Use outdoor lighting only where necessary. Add motion detectors or timers, or change the angle of lights. Need help cleaning up excess light from your surroundings? Check out darksky.org for resources on how to help minimize light pollution in your neighborhood, as well as contribute to citizen science on the issue. What's the issue with my light bulb? In a nutshell, the issue is that white artificial light is high in shorter wavelength blue light, just like natural daylight. When the sensors in the eye see blue light, they signal the SCN that it's daytime, time to wake up. Some of the bluest artificial lights are the LED lights used in light bulbs and our computer and gadget screens. Even compact fluorescent lights, CFLs, have a blue wash to them. Conversely, the amber glow of candles and fires is longer wavelength red light. It mimics the light of sunset, and as a result, cues your master clock to trigger sleep. Sleep is not a luxury. It is an absolutely essential act of daily maintenance, and it is your ally in keeping your brain sharp and youthful. Close your eyes, clean your brain. Next time you're about to cheat yourself of sleep, consider this. Sleep may be pivotal to avoiding early mental decline. When you sleep, your brain protects itself from toxic proteins. Its glymphatic system flushes cerebrospinal fluid through the brain to remove proteins that accumulate between the cells as a byproduct of neurological processes during the day. It is the equivalent of the lymphatic system in the body. This overnight cleanup keeps the brain clear and healthy, but it only occurs when you're asleep. It's as if you have a brain-cleaning crew who only works the night shift. If, by depriving yourself of solid sleep, you don't let them work, it's like having a party one night and neglecting to clean the mess the next day, and then having another party. These waste products begin to accumulate, and the house starts deteriorating. Science is now linking this toxic buildup with loss of neurological function. You might feel a state of brain fog, or have poor memory, or find your cognitive performance declines. If you've become absent-minded after chronic sleep disruption, this may be why. Over time, this trash buildup of proteins in the brain can even contribute to dementia and Alzheimer's. Given how active our brains are today, thinking, solving, and creating on a continuous loop, having this disposal system in tip-top shape feels more important than ever. Sleep, as well as its deeply restful counterpart, meditation, is not a luxury. It is an absolutely essential act of daily maintenance, and it is your ally in keeping your brain sharp and youthful. Don't skimp on it. Star RX. humans have a physiological need to be immersed in outdoor darkness. This is both a biological and, I believe, spiritual need. A recent study took a group of campers into the Colorado Rockies for a week, where they had no access to light at night, except for their evening campfire. Very quickly, they began falling asleep earlier, and sleeping for longer periods. Their bodies had adjusted to the natural rhythms of light and dark. It took no extra effort on their part, and the regulated rhythms lasted when they returned home. No-frills camping, it seems, is a potent medicine for improving dysregulated sleep patterns. But it's more than that. Experiencing the night deeply gives you something intangible, yet meaningful. A sense of wonder, a sense of perspective. As the Connect Ring shows, this is as vital to being well as any nutrient or exercise. If you live in a town or city, immersing yourself in the night may feel like a risky endeavor, or a fruitless one, since so much artificial light filters upward, drowning stars. But it's a powerful prescription to keep in your pocket. Whether you get a chance to truly go wild and find the blackest sky around, or you join a group night experience closer to home, a full moon hike in a local park, an outdoor astronomy class hosted by a local science center, or even an outdoor concert or festival where you can lose yourself in darkness surrounded by your tribe. We weren't designed to be as cut off from the night sky in the ways we are today. Try this simple practice once or twice and see how it affects your awareness of how natural light and natural dark affect your body and mind. Find astronomy clubs near you at lovethenightsky.com. Whether you know it or not, sleep is anything but unproductive. Your brain and body are actually very active when you're down for the count. De-digitize your night. The evidence is irrefutable. If you want to sleep better, take back control of after-dark tech habits. Getting hooked into digital media and information, from innocently watching your favorite shows, on a big screen or small, to scrolling through social media, squelches sleep triggers. Not just because of light disruption, but also because it promotes alertness and mental revving. Sure, these activities make you feel you are sinking into some hard-earned me time and unwinding. And today's mediascape, which allows binge-watching at any time, doesn't make it easy to unplug. But think of it this way. These innocent-seeming habits reverse your body's natural downturn towards sleep. Even if you change your screens to orange, you're not in the clear. Start noticing how watching a show when you begin to feel sleepy can arrest the downward dive your body has started. Suddenly, you're not so tired. Or notice that when you stay online late at night, your mind continues to whir when you eventually switch off the lights. For years, Eastern healers have advised not to even read books before bed. The idea is that stimulating mental activity hinders sleep. In today's world, we've sprinted far past books, and the effects are catching up with us. Our Be Well integrative psychiatrist, Ellen Vora, MD, counsels extensively on sleep and technology issues, and has this to say. Falling down the electronic rabbit hole at night is like binging on pizza. The temptation gets put before you. It sucks you in, triggering you to consume it mindlessly, and then you feel icky the next day. Today's apps are designed to get you scrolling infinitely. Your brain expects to arrive at an ending, but there isn't one, and that's what gets you into trouble. Bring consciousness into your choices of how you spend your time at night. If you're going to stare at a screen, know that it may impact your sleep, so enter that agreement mindfully. Sometimes it's necessary, but for those times when it's not, don't just be on autopilot and default to scanning Instagram. Four ways to develop this self-awareness are: 1. Set an alarm that means technology time is over, and it's time to start unwinding, and don't press snooze. 2. Make someone you live with, partner or roommate, an accountability partner. If you see each other going down the rabbit hole, gently note what you observe. You'll snap at each other at first, but it will help. 3. Remember that sleep is essential for productivity. Burning the midnight oil won't help the quality of your work as much as falling asleep by 10:30 p.m. will. 4. Just like with food, pay heed to how you feel the morning after. A late-night tech session steals your sleep and disrupts its quality. Notice if your brain or body feels the impact, or how your morning goes. Let awareness fuel your commitment to do things differently the next night. Secrets of successful sleepers. Successful sleepers go to bed when they're tired. Babies get overtired and impossible to soothe, and adults do too. Push through your natural sleepy signals to stay up late, and you'll toss and turn that night. Don't eat their evening meals too late. To stay in sync with your sleep-inducing rhythms, eat dinner at least 2 to 3 hours before bedtime, and avoid sugar at night. When an after-dinner craving or hunger pang strikes, have a spoonful of quality almond butter to help stabilize your blood sugar. Dips in blood sugar can also be a cause of middle-of-the-night wakefulness. If so, repeat the spoonful. Avoid alcohol close to bedtime. Booze might make you drowsy, unless it's tequila, which does the opposite. But it's a poor crutch, because it can actually delay the onset of REM sleep, which means the restorative quality of sleep suffers. Limit alcohol to one drink, and have it at least 3 hours before bedtime, so your body can process the alcohol. If you notice that even a little alcohol with dinner disrupts your sleep, pour a bit of tart cherry juice in your wine glass instead of wine. It contains a small amount of melatonin. Leave technology and TV out of the bedroom. It's an oldie, but a goodie. Keep your bedroom reserved for sleep and sex. Have the Wi-Fi router on a timer. This limits the temptation to go online before bed and protects you from disruptive electromagnetic frequency, which new research shows is more pernicious when you sleep. Sleep in a very dark room. Assess whether hormone-disrupting light from outside is leaking in through your window treatments. Blackout curtains or shades are a great investment, and surprisingly affordable through services like Home Depot's, though you can find some innovative, albeit unchic, ways to hack this online. The cheap fix, if you can't control your room environment, a good eye mask that stays on while you sleep. Stay comfortably cool at night. It has been proven that you sleep better in a room that is around 60 to 67 degrees Fahrenheit. When you sleep, your body temperature naturally drops. A cooler room and a hot bath can help you get there. It's better to crack the window and snuggle under a thicker cover than to turn up the heat. In summer, keep your room on the cooler side. If your extremities get chilly, wear socks in bed or place a hot water bottle at your feet. It will warm your feet without raising your core temperature. Work it out with their partner. Ensure that one person isn't waving around an iPad while the other is trying to snooze. Agreeing to limit technology in the bedroom can be a non-personal way to engender compromise. If your partner wakes you by moving, consider investing in a good mattress with minimal transference of movement. If snoring is the issue, earplugs and a white noise machine can help, as well as gently supporting the snorer to look at possible causes such as food sensitivities, allergies, alcohol consumption, and weight gain. Use an alternative alarm clock. Once your glowing cell phone and its alarm feature is banished, and your ultra-bright digital alarm clock is unplugged, you need another option. Cheap battery-operated travel alarms are an easy alternative, but so are light alarms that gradually illuminate, mimicking the dawn, or chime alarms that increase in volume from subtle to loud, such as the one made by Now and Zen. Both are stress-free ways to get woken. Don't go to sleep angry. Disallow fearful, angry, or resentful thinking after lights out. These thoughts literally switch on the stress response and can trigger cortisol release, the hormone of alertness and hypervigilance. A positive affirmation or a gratitude practice can create an inhospitable environment for those sneaky thoughts. Some reasons to make sleep a priority. It's when your body repairs, restores, maintains, and detoxifies itself. How you sleep is as important as how you live during waking hours. How to get ready for bed. You can't go at full speed all day and then suddenly stop, drop, and sleep. Create a buffer zone between action and rest, between daytime's yang energy of doing and achieving, and nighttime's yin state of inward stillness, with these reliable rituals for transitioning to tranquility. Children sleep better when they have a consistent pre-bed routine. Adults aren't all that different. Take a bath. A hot shower or bath before bed makes your core temperature drop as your blood circulates to your periphery. This helps trigger sleep because a cooling body temperature is a natural part of your sleep rhythm. Doctor up your bath with Epsom salts, which infuse rest-inducing and muscle-relaxing magnesium into your tissues, helping to mitigate stress and inflammation. Lavender oil added to the bath, a tried-and-tested classic, also induces relaxation. Make a healthy nightcap. Herbal teas and tonics have been used for eons to gently help the nervous system shift from revved to relaxed. Chamomile is the classic go-to, but there's a profusion of nighttime blends available, and some popular powdered mixes that use Chinese herbs. Not everyone responds the same way to each of these. Personal exploration is the only way to find what works for you. If you are curious about trying herbs in a more targeted way for sleep, visit a local herb store or online retailer like mountainroseherbs.com. Consider using skullcap, which relaxes and restores the nervous system if your sleep goal is anxiety. California poppy, if the problem is that your mind is running. Or valerian, passion flower, or magnolia, if you tend to wake up and can't fall back asleep. As with all herbs, get professional guidance if you are pregnant or on medication. For extra help, you might also consider taking magnesium or some of the more targeted sleep supplements outlined coming up. Use music. Though it's fairly obvious if you've ever sung a lullaby to a baby, studies show that the right kind of pre-bed music can significantly improve sleep quality when used consistently, even for those with chronic sleep disorders. We don't yet fully know the exact mechanisms that music triggers that help induce sleep, but we know it can boost the brain's pleasure centers while lowering physiological arousal, and it can release endogenous opioids, your natural painkillers, and oxytocin, the hormone of bonding. Both physical and emotional pain, which could be the root of sleep disorder for some, appear to be alleviated. Though soothing, slower-paced classical and reggae music are two ways to go, there's now a treasure chest of music that is crafted to help you drop more easily into a slow brainwave state. In particular, music using binaural beats help the electrical activity in the brain slow down by merging two different frequencies. This allows your brain to experience a much lower frequency of sound than it can normally hear. Hemisync, hemisync.com, is a system that helps brainwaves slow down for sleep, and the Vanguard Music as Medicine Platform Sync Project, syncproject.co, offers a whole category of sound and music devoted to slumber. Do restorative yoga. Pick one or two postures and let them be the last thing you do before climbing into bed. They work by switching on the rest and relax functions of the nervous system. Dim lights and calming music can enhance the experience. For a guided experience, visit supersleepyoga.com, an online course designed to help trigger sleep and help you get back to sleep if you wake up in the night. Practice letting go. As you lie in bed with the lights out, try spending 3 to 10 minutes doing a simple practice that combines body awareness and breathing. You can begin by using the 4-7-8 breath to relax, and then moving upward from toes to head, including the belly, chest, heart and arms. Inwardly thank each body part for their efforts today, telling them they can rest. Feel each body part sink into the bed as you let go. For guidance, look up Body Scan Meditations on YouTube. After you hear them a few times, you'll be able to do them easily on your own. Disallow fearful, angry, or resentful thinking after lights out. These thoughts literally switch on the stress response. Beat the no-sleep blues. Practicing good sleep hygiene and being conscious of evening habits does not always guarantee perfect sleep. If you have insomnia, occasionally or frequently, you might be painfully aware of this fact. And with the level of stress and anxiety pervading our lives, lack of sleep is on the rise. Today, medications for sleep are a hugely growing business, predicted to hit $80 billion globally by 2020. But while pharmaceutical drugs may help initially, they increase your risk for dementia, are addictive, and can cause bizarre behaviors. Though there's rarely a quick fix for this incredibly debilitating experience, addressing the following areas can help to lessen insomnia's grip. Normalize waking up. If you experience mild wakefulness occasionally and can get back to sleep without struggle, you don't need to worry. Research shows that throughout evolutionary history, it's been normal to wake up in the night. The problem can start if you stress about it and then can't quiet your mind. Cut back on caffeine. Individual sensitivity to caffeine varies widely, but few people realize that this drug can stay in your system for more than 7 hours after you consume it. It's crucial to curb caffeine if you struggle with sleep. Dial back the amount you consume, and never drink it after noon. If you need a coffee fix in the afternoon, try a caffeine-free alternative, like herbal coffee, made with dandelion and chicory root. Don't take supplements after 5 p.m. While some people metabolize vitamins and other supplements fine at night, others get wakeful. With the exception of calming magnesium or other sleep blends, take your supplements by lunchtime, unless you know they won't affect you. Move and exercise daily. People who exercise at least 150 minutes a week report twice the likelihood of satisfying sleep than non-exercisers. And consider strength training programs. For your muscles to repair themselves after working out, they demand growth hormone that is secreted in deep sleep, which is why bodybuilders often report profound slumber. If you exercise in the evening, finish by 7 or 8 p.m. in order to allow time for winding down. Keep daytime naps short. If you are tired enough to nap during the day, do it before 4 p.m. and keep it limited to 20 to 30 minutes so you don't enter a deep sleep cycle, which can disrupt nighttime sleep. Supplement for sleep. The entry-level supplements to help sleep are either magnesium citrate powder or magnesium glycinate or threonate. Start with 300 milligrams and increase to 400 or 500 milligrams if needed. And glycine. Start with 3 grams and increase if needed. You can try them individually or mix together in water. The magnesium citrate will have a loosening, encouraging effect on the bowels. If these aren't effective, try L-theanine and GABA. Individuals react differently to each, so some trial and error may be required. Start with at least 200 to 400 milligrams L-theanine, or 300 to 600 milligrams GABA, and see which one works for you. A combination of the two can also work well. If you wake, don't lie in bed tossing and turning. With the lights still out, put on calming music or an audiobook, or try the body scan meditation technique. Get checked for sleep apnea. If you constantly wake up exhausted, ask your doctor about sleep apnea. This fairly common condition interferes with your ability to breathe while you sleep, preventing you from getting deep sleep. It is potentially dangerous, but easily treated at home with machines that are now smaller and more accessible than before. Review your medications. Antihistamines, diuretics, antipsychotics, antidepressants, decongestants, asthma medications, and some blood pressure medicines can cause sleeplessness and disturb REM sleep. Ask your doctor or pharmacist if what you're taking might be interfering with your sleep. try a float tank. These incredibly popular remedies for stress and pain can help reduce cortisol levels and inflammation, often helping to restore easier sleep. For about an hour during the day, you simply lie in a silent pod, filled with water with 1,000 pounds of Epsom salts, and let the womb-like environment work its calming magic. There are dedicated float tank centres popping up nationwide, and you can also find them at some spas. Consider chronotherapy. If you cannot fall asleep until after 2 a.m., no matter how many changes you make, look into chronotherapy, a therapeutic regimen that uses light to help reset your circadian rhythms. It has also been shown to help with the depression that is so often related to sleep disorders. While pharmaceutical sleep aids may help initially, they increase your risk for dementia, are addictive, and can cause bizarre behaviors. Explore the new frontiers, then go to sleep. Sleep technology is a booming industry. There are better beds, better sheets, and now a tidal wave of apps, programs, and devices that promise sweet slumber. Trackers can be useful allies in getting some information about sleep patterns, though the jury is still out regarding the accuracy of their data. A sleep lab is the real way to dive deeply into sleep dysfunction. And do you want devices that may emit EMFs, electromagnetic fields, next to your head all night? If you use a sleep app to drift off, remember to set your phone to airplane mode and ideally connect it to a speaker away from your immediate reach, so you're not tempted to grab your phone if you wake up in the night. Think of all these as short-term strategies for gathering information or instilling new habits. No gadget is going to override accumulated stress you have not shed or be more effective in tiring out your muscles with a workout. The goal is to be able to get good zeds without accessories and interventions. At the end of the day, we evolved to lie down on bare ground, in the dark, without much on our mind, and sleep. When your sleep goes awry, it's a clue that something about your lifestyle is asking to be adjusted, or that something else in your body needs attention. Move. This ring of the mandala is not called work out, it's move. Before there were gyms, treadmills, and sneakers, there was simple human movement. For most of human history, your forebears did a lot of it. All day. Most days, in fact. 6 miles of walking for food and water per day, it is said. The irony of our highly mobile culture is that while we can take our work with us and stay connected wherever we go, actual movement has been downgraded. We sit. And we sit. If we're lucky, we get some isolated bursts of exercise. Though for many, even that's become a bit of an artifact. The move ring is not about urgently pursuing fitness or burning calories per se. When it comes to weight management, you can't out-exercise a poor diet. It's about integrating movement back into your day so you can use and enjoy your body the way nature intended it, as a vehicle capable of carrying you comfortably through the life you want to live. A practice of dedicated body training fits into this, but is built on slow gains, steady progress, and a foundation of smart eating and sound sleep. Moving improves everything, your metabolism and your microbiome, your sleep and all your body rhythms, your immunity, your stress response, and the overall balance in your life. It even decreases inflammation. You don't have to be a rock star cyclist or sculpt a body of steel. Just ask yourself upon waking, how can I move more today? Find the movement that moves you. What if you reframed the idea of working out from being a chore to a practice? A relationship that sustains you, nourishes you, and sometimes just holds you in a place of relief or rest. Be Well collaborator Sadie Lincoln is the founder and CEO of the Bar 3 Workout, which develops balanced, strong bodies and an advocate of bringing a movement practice into your life. I'm a big fan of Sadie's mindful, functional methodology, which fuses ballet, bar, Pilates, and yoga. It's a different philosophy toward exercise, and it may look a little different than forcing yourself to go to the gym. She shares how a small shift in attitude can lead to sticking to something for the long term and enjoying it too. Having a consistent practice of something you love to do lets you reclaim movement as a part of your integrated way of being, versus it being something that you need to achieve. It's a completely different mindset from trying to meet some kind of perfected fitness ideal, which is where we've been for decades. That often leads you to strive to a goal that is not authentic to who you are, one that's either shaped by an impossible industry standard or comes from your own ideal of yourself from a previous athletic time in your life. The key to developing a long-lasting movement practice is that it be something that grows your own body awareness and an ability to know where you are in that moment. It will change from day to day, depending on how you are feeling and what you know you need. A challenging experience one day, breathing and mobility the next. The type of practice could be anything, from a bar 3 class or yoga practice to Olympic lifting. But the teacher should teach a methodology where you learn to adapt movements according to your strengths and weaknesses, so you link present moment awareness with your movement. Look around the room. Is everyone doing slightly different versions of the pose or exercise? That's a clue that you're on the right track, because that's where the magic happens. You start to really know, what do I need today? Our bodies are ever in constant change. So is the world we live in. So why would our movement practice stay the same? This approach, a more mindful approach, may not be as high octane as you expect at first, but stick with it. We've all been conditioned to be sensation junkies. No pain, no gain. Replace that old thinking with work smarter, not harder. That's how you learn to be your own best teacher. Start by finding something you connect to and have fun with. Try things out online to see if they pique your interest. Then get to a class if you possibly can, because the community and culture of group movement is just as important as the practice itself. Seek a teacher who lives to see you rather than performs for you. Do they remember your name and look you in the eye? Do they give a hands-on adjustment and ask you questions? Whether it be a bar studio, a dojo, a yoga shala, a climbing gym, or something else. This group environment gives you a very powerful tool for modern life, a tool for fighting loneliness. There's nothing like exploring the experience of movement together. Just move as much as you can. Workouts are enriching, empowering, and if you want to achieve peak physical potential, probably a requisite. But they're not the be-all, end-all. Those 60 minutes of an exercise class or gym session is a positive input. Hours of immobility before and after not only can eat up the gains, leaving you frustrated with your lack of progress or your ratio of fat to muscle, they might cause you to reinforce the small pains and physical glitches of your chair-bound body, because the tiny micro-tears that come from lifting weights can heal in that shape. Don't ditch a workout that you enjoy. But if you're sweating about making it to the gym at the crack of dawn, it might be better to try to get more movement throughout the day. You are designed to move. Your physical mechanics, brilliantly evolved over many millennia, are designed for many activities. To walk frequently and for some distance. To change physical planes by standing up and then sitting back down. And by pivoting, turning, or lunging in multiple directions, and to pull, push, and hoist things, even if just the weight of your body, regularly. This allows your joints to stay lubricated and injury-free, and your tendons to remain robust, and able to handle loads of weight or unexpected movements. And it ensures that all the components of your skeletal and muscular systems move fluidly, without soreness and restriction. You are also protected. Movement causes muscle tissue to produce proteins called myokines that have important disease preventive and anti-inflammation functions. What happens when this brilliantly designed machine stops moving? A lifestyle change of such epic proportions that it delivers a host of unwanted side effects. Apart from the obvious discomfort and stiffness of restricted mobility, a sedentary lifestyle is associated with higher cancer risk, depression, lower cognitive ability, pre-diabetic blood sugar levels, even at a healthy weight, diminished sex life and reproductive health, sleep disruption and insomnia, and an epidemic of disc degeneration and resulting back pain. The shift to a sedentary culture has taken an enormous toll. We live in boxes, travel in boxes, eat out of boxes, and work in boxes. Now it's time to urgently break out of the box. That's easier said than done when limiting factors such as a job, commute, or dependents determine your schedule. But it's possible to get crafty even within those limitations. Find the small windows of time for weaving physical activity throughout your waking hours. Whether you make it to an actual workout, run or bike ride, and chances are high that many days you will not, you will have taken solid steps to promote and protect your health. Use all the tips in this ring to help you, and integrate the following approaches into your everyday. Make movement a healthy byproduct of meeting other needs. If you have kids, take them out to roam and explore. Or if they're very small, wear them and go out for a walk. If you're doing errands, ditch the car a few blocks before your destination and walk the final distance. If you drive to work, is there an alternative route that would get you to walk or bike, at least part of the way? Shift the way you work. Do phone calls have to take place while seated? A headset and a pad of paper could free you up to make calls on the move. And who said that meetings must take place in the boardroom? Creativity and collaboration can flow better when the body is in motion. Cross-body movements like walking actually stimulate exchange of information between the hemispheres of the brain. Refresh your social life. Commit to walking or playing sports with friends instead of catching up over coffee or dinner. If it's after dark, try something like yoga, dance, or mixed martial arts. Make a game of your commute. If you work on a high floor in an office building, try this drill. Every day for a week, get off the elevator before your floor, dropping a floor each day, every single time you go in and out. Monday, get off the floor early. Tuesday, 2 floors early. Wednesday, 3 floors, and so on. Walk 5 blocks before lunch. Take a stroll before eating, and if you're getting takeout, don't order in, pick it up. Not only does this add steps to your day, it improves insulin sensitivity slightly, decompresses your digestive system, and de-stresses your nervous system in preparation for your meal, and makes you more wakeful so you are less likely to crave pick-me-up sugars. Embrace micro-sessions. Do any kind of movement for 10 minutes at least once or twice a day. 10 minutes can change your state completely. It's just 3 songs on a pop playlist. If you think you don't have 10 minutes, sacrifice checking your social media and grab that time back. A sedentary lifestyle is associated with higher cancer risk, depression, lower cognitive ability, pre-diabetic blood sugar levels, diminished sex life, and sleep disruption. Get strong. Strength confers resilience, longevity, and protection against disease. But unless you have some kind of occupation requiring you to lift heavy things or put your body through a range of swinging, hanging, pushing, and pulling movements, you're going to have to do strength training. Strongman icon Pavel Tsatsulin, the man who brought kettlebells to the US, called strength the mother of all physical qualities. It is different from general cardiovascular fitness and flexibility, the 2 things that most exercises target. The definition of strength, in simplest terms, is the ability to carry a load from point A to point B. When you can do that with speed, it's called power. It requires having the structural ability in your muscles, tendons and ligaments to meet the demands and carry the loads of life, and healthy enough joints to support those loaded movements. Think of strength as physical integrity, the ability to handle everything life throws at you. Whether that's carrying 3 bags of groceries and a squirming child, moving your couch, or simply moving your own body weight through space, the requirement is the same. You want quality muscle tissue and resilient connective tissue. Cultivating strength is key to protecting yourself against injury, especially as you get older. You lose muscle mass as you age, so building it up while you still can preempts excessive loss. It's also key to avoiding much of the pain that accrues from daily life and engendering a positive and confident state of mind. Not least because you look better, but also because strength training boosts mood-enhancing endorphins. When you have a safe and effective strength training program established, this may just include very short sessions a couple times a week. You will also reduce the risk factor for diabetes. Resistance training is shown to help prevent insulin resistance, heart disease, and cancer. But how do you start? The options are multiple. Weightlifting, kettlebells, bodyweight training. But they can be intimidating. Or they're not intimidating enough. Rushing into strength training from an unconditioned state, or doing it on your own without learning proper technique, is the fastest way to put wear and tear on the body. It puts stress on top of dysfunction, because your joints and connective tissues are not ready for the load you ask them to carry. And if that happens, the physical therapist, or surgeon, gets to see the consequences. If you have access to a qualified trainer who can slowly ramp you up on a strength training program, that's a great way to go. Be picky. Always get referrals. For everyone else, there are ways to chart your own course. I asked our Be Well strength coach and movement education trainer, Adam Tickner, to map out a safe and effective arc for building strength step by step from the ground up. Month 1. Start with basic conditioning drills. Every day, do the following sequence 5 or 6 times throughout the day to build good movement patterns. Turn on your trunk muscles and prepare your shoulders, hips, and connective tissue. You can do it once you get out of bed and once after brushing your teeth after breakfast. That's 2 times before you even leave the house. Do it again instead of a mid-morning coffee break. That's 3, and so on. Hang for 30 seconds. Use a pull-up bar installed in a doorway or a monkey bar in a local park. If you're in an office without access to a bar, do a modified body row using your desk or other sturdy table at your workplace. Sit on the floor with your legs extended all the way under the desk. Grab onto the top of the desk and, keeping your trunk tight and your body in a straight line or plank, pull your chest up to the desk and hold that position for 30 seconds. Squat for 30 seconds. With your feet hip distance or wider, shins 90 degrees to the floor, reach your butt back as you squat as low as you can, without compromising shin position or letting your knees fall inward. Bear crawl for 30 seconds. Start on all fours with your hands on the floor, arms straight below your shoulders, knees beneath your hips and bent to 90 degrees, and feet raised so you're on your toes. Crawl forward across the room, then backward to starting position, moving the opposite hand and foot in unison. Right hand and left foot move forward or backward at the same time, then the left hand and right foot. Keep your back flat, not rounded, as you crawl. Handstand against a wall for 30 seconds. If getting vertical is too hard, walk your legs up a wall to 90 degrees, or place your legs on a chair. Add a loaded walk daily if you can. As you're doing this, simultaneously train your sleep patterns. You'll need sleep as a foundation to gaining strength. Month 2. Introduce a barbell deadlift with excellent technique. Follow guidance and instructions coming up soon. This one basic movement will give you a baseline of trunk and pelvic floor strength, correct knee and hip hinge movements, and get you to pull your shoulder into place before you use kettlebells. Keep doing your daily drills. You can vary it if you get comfortable. Keep doing your loaded walks. Month 3. Introduce a basic two-arm kettlebell swing to chest or nose height, not overhead. Group classes or online coaching can make this affordable. Look for Russian-style kettlebell training. This puts what you've learned with the deadlift into dynamic motion. Start with a weight of 25 to 28 pounds for women, or 30 to 40 pounds for men. Your aim, 100 swings a day, broken up through the day, however you like. By the end of the month, it should only take 3 sets to achieve that 100 swing goal. Keep doing your deadlifts and daily loaded walk. To successfully get strong requires ongoing development of skills and capacity, or your body adapts to the inputs and gets efficient with its muscle building, and you begin to plateau, not to mention get bored. These drills serve as your launching pad for a strength-building journey, so now go have fun. After 3 months of groundwork, you'll be in great shape to join whatever strength and conditioning program appeals to you, whether it be barbell-oriented, Olympic lifting, kettlebell training, or calisthenics-based bodyweight training, or activities like rock climbing that build strength through motion. You're also prepped to do high-intensity metabolic workouts with much less risk of injury. StrongFirst.com will connect you to expertly trained strength coaches. Cultivating strength is key to protecting yourself against injury, especially as you get older. The lazy loaded walk. Take a daily walk with a little load added to your body in the form of a weighted vest. This is a safe, effective way to condition yourself because it loads the spine from all directions while compressing your trunk, which gives you stability as you move and improves your posture. It helps the overused trapezius muscles, used to carry your head, to release and cues the entire trunk to fire up and hold you up straight. Loaded walking even helps you free up the hip muscles, improving the hip's range of motion and thereby your gait. The best way to do this is with a vest that distributes weight evenly around your torso. If you can, walk with a vest weighing no more than 10% of your body weight for about 45 minutes to an hour, daily, or as often as possible. Don't run. It's too much impact. You can hack this by wearing a loaded backpack on your front and your back, or a child in a carrier plus a backpack, but a vest is a lot easier. Get a vest that fits comfortably snug to your body, and if you have an injury, get evaluated by a professional first so you don't do any further damage. There's no need to walk at a speedy clip. The idea is long, lazy, and loaded. Moving improves everything. Your metabolism and your microbiome, your sleep and all your body rhythms, your immunity, your stress response, and the overall balance in your life. Ditch the chair and break up your body patterns. It's been said that chairs are junk food for the body. That may sound extreme because they do serve a useful purpose, but the point is taken. The ever-present chair, desk, car, living room, dining room has a sneaky way of getting you into bad habits while engendering some degenerative side effects. Sedentary life encourages a kind of physical atrophy, decline from disuse. When we are sitting, we are not moving, and we quite literally get stuck. The top conditioning coaches say that most modern adults have severe compromises in their mobility. Joints don't move smoothly, and muscles don't fire easily in the ways that nature intended. Shoulders are locked, hips are frozen, elbows and forearms are constrained, and calves are tight. Meanwhile, the core and glute muscles get weak, and the back gets overstretched in a hunch. All this from sitting down for too much of the day. Try this drill. If you've been sitting at a desk for a couple of hours, stand up, then lower yourself to a sitting position on the floor, assuming you are injury-free, of course. Chances are this motion, which is a basic human function, is more creaky than fluid. But it shouldn't be. Sitting down on the floor and standing up is an important full range of motion movement that keeps joints juicy while building functional muscle strength. Become less attached to your chair, pun intended. Seek postural change throughout the day and find opportunities to get low, stand back up, and move from side to side. It's not all or nothing here, because standing 100% of the time isn't ideal either. Your body likes a multi-dimensional approach, involving different directions and planes. Here are 8 remedies for sedentary living. 1. If your daily life involves sitting, use an ergonomic chair. My favorite ones allow movement as you sit, from the top-of-the-line swapper stool to a large exercise ball, sized to allow you to keep your thighs parallel to the floor with flat feet. These seats engage your core, keep your circulation going, and enliven your nervous system because you have to make constant micro-movements to maintain your posture. If you don't have knee issues, an alternative is a kneeling chair. If you need back support, a good chiropractor should be able to advise the best option for you. 2. If using an exercise ball, make sure to get a burst-proof ball that won't pop, and be cautious of it rolling out from under you if you sit down quickly. High heels can make this a liability. More stable versions of this include balls set into frames. 3. Alternate between your ball and a regular chair until you are used to it, but don't stay sedentary. You still need to get up and move. Take a stroll, do some stretches or lunges, at least every 45 minutes. Set a timer on your phone or an old-fashioned sand hourglass to sync it to this get-up rhythm. 4. Invest in an adjustable height or sit-to stand desk. Tell your employer that these can boost productivity because the brain is more oxygenated, which gives you more mental energy, and focus increases as discomfort diminishes. A cheaper hack is a platform that goes on your existing desk to raise the height of a laptop, but the ideal setup lets you alternate sitting and standing. For a mobility drill you can do while working at your computer, see howtobewell.com. 5. If you can, change your positions throughout the day. Mix in periods of kneeling at a low table, sitting on the floor, and walking while you talk. This will completely transform the way you feel at the end of the day. 6. If you wear heels, take them off at your desk. Sitting in them shortens the tendons of the leg. It's a prime cause of Achilles injuries for those who go straight from sitting to after work running. It also helps to alternate days when you wear heels with days when you wear flats. 7. Normalize moving at your workplace. This may seem intimidating, but why worry what your co-workers think? Keep yourself resilient and happy. Your outlier actions will probably start a trend toward a less static office culture. Try it and see. 8. Continue this primal mindset at home. Before plopping on the couch or chair, consider an alternative that forces you to use your body's full range of motion. Get down onto the ground to play with your kids or pets, or to read. Some nights, eat dinner at a coffee table, seated on pillows. You could even swap out your couch for beanbags. Getting in and out of those requires core and glute engagement. One of my favorite hacks: store frequently used kitchen gear like plates and cups in a low cupboard. It forces you to squat down and stand up several times a day. Squatting, not bending at the waist, gives you benefits. And why not pull out your dustpan and brush instead of the vacuum, so you can get down low to clean your corners? Small changes like these make you use all your body more of the time. Correct the tech injuries. There's a class of physical complaints that chiropractors and alignment experts call tech injuries, and they are on the rise. These come from the small postural compromises we unconsciously make all day long from being tethered to computers and devices. These rolled or jutted forward body shapes we fall into, sometimes for hours, get repeated until they start pulling the spine out of alignment. This causes structural issues like back pain and hip imbalance, and can also cause problems body-wide, because the nerve roots that run through the spinal canal, sending information throughout the nervous system,